What is going on? Welcome back to the No Cell Wrestling Podcast. This is your host, and today, I don't know what's wrong with the internet these days. You know, I don't know what's been going on, but a lot of people have just been in the spirit of disrespecting some of the greatest wrestlers of all time. So there was a Twitter debacle, I think, a month ago. Somebody said, comically, of course. I mean, I think it was a joke. If they're being serious, I mean, yikes. But they said that Eddie Guerrero was a B-plus player. you can't take those guys serious. You can't. Eddie Guerrero has more charisma and a toenail than whoever made that tweet has in their entire body. Okay, Eddie Guerrero is a great storyteller. He's legendary in the ring. He's great on the microphone. He's got killer theme songs. His entrance is memorable. He's had memorable storylines. Dominic's custody on a pole. The Vince Russo staple. It was actually a ladder match, but it may as well have been on a pole. But he's had memorable storylines that aren't terrible. And look, just... it's funny for somebody to say that Eddie Guerrero is a B-plus player. I find that hilarious. I mean, really? Are we talking about the same Eddie Guerrero? I want you to go watch Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle. I want you to watch that match. I want you to watch Eddie Guerrero's program with Batista or his team with China, and you tell me that he's a B-plus player. No, a B-plus player would have flopped given that situation. An A-plus player would have made it one of the most memorable pairings of Eddie Guerrero and China ever. So, Eddie Guerrero, that was quick. Eddie Guerrero is definitely one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Easily top 10 in most lists, top 15 in mine. I mean, top 15 of the millions of wrestlers in existence. Like, I love Eddie Guerrero. But the more egregious one I saw, literally, I think, well, I want to say 30 minutes ago, a guy online on the Tick of Talk, this individual, we're not going to say his name, we're not going to embarrass him here, but he said that Bret Hart was one of the most overrated wrestlers of all time. He says that he is okay in the ring. He says that he lacks mic skills and storytelling. Okay. Well, what do you say to that? What do you even say to that? The notion that Bret Hart is boring on the microphone is one of the silliest things I've ever heard. He's a babyface. He is an 80s babyface. Literally everybody is boring on the microphone. In my opinion, Ricky Steamboat is the greatest pure babyface wrestling has ever seen. In the 80s, you could say he was boring on the microphone. Personally, I thought he was pretty good. And there are people who say that he's boring, and I understand that. And I think that Ricky Steamboat on the microphone and Bret Hart on the microphone are almost identical. I think that Bret Hart on the microphone and Daniel Bryan on the microphone are almost identical. There's this notion, this narrative, that Bret Hart has never cut a good promo in his entire career. He's boring. He can't talk. He's cut plenty of memorable promos. I mean, his promo right before Survivor Series against The Undertaker that they play in the package, I thought was great. Literally any time he goes on his America Sucks tirade, it's amazing. Obviously, the frustration promo, amazing. So, he has memorable promos. He's good on the microphone. I'm not going to say he's The Rock or anything. I'm not an idiot, but he is passable on the microphone. And storytelling. What? This guy was... he was going on. He said Bret Hart could not tell a story in the ring. What? Do you not remember when Owen kicked out his leg? That was like the biggest storyline for 2 years. And it was all told in ring, pretty much. Bret Hart is the greatest seller of moves in wrestling history. I do not care what anybody says. It's correct. And you can say
Shawn Michaels, like, yeah, if you want one kick to turn into a cartwheel, yeah, you're gonna pick Shawn Michaels. I don't like circus antics in my wrestling. To a certain extent, I love Ricochet, but I don't like circus antics like, I don't know, getting hit with the snake eyes, bouncing 15 feet in the air, then falling to the ground, and doing a cartwheel, and then doing a second cartwheel and a backflip just to sell how painful that snake eyes was. Like, a little ridiculous. You could say Dolph, but he's cut from the same cloth as Shawn Michaels, just a less elastic version. No cartwheels, just backflips. And then you got Bret Hart, who doesn't need to flip to let you know that, man, this armbar hurts. Like, yeah, Shawn could sell a kick, but could he sell an armbar? No. Have you ever seen Shawn go into the turnbuckle chest first to make it look like a gunshot? Because I've seen Bret Hart do it a million times. You ever seen Bret Hart's face when he's locked in a submission? It looks like a UFC match. Like, he's truthfully laying there in great deep pain. It makes when he gets to that rope, or when he breaks out of that submission, 100 times more satisfying, because it makes you think, you know, I know that the match isn't going to end with this random, back in the day they didn't do super holds, but this is not going to end with a random abdominal stretch, but Jesus Christ, Bret Hart is looking, standing there like, you know, this might be the new finisher, because Bret Hart looks like he's dying. So, he can sell. He sells the best in wrestling history. Okay, his technical ability is second to literally only Dean Malenko. Literally, that's it. And Dean Malenko's a wizard in terms of physical, being able to bend a limb and make it look like it's about to snap off with somebody's body. Dean Malenko is literally like the Gandalf of bending arms. Like, he is just otherworldly. But on that same planet, in that same solar system, No, not even solar system. On that same planet, in the same house, in the same room, on a bunk bed, lays Bret Hart and Dean Malenko in terms of technical ability. Bret Hart can just transition. I watched Bret Hart versus the Patriot at In Your House. There's a good moment in there. Bret goes from a side headlock into an armbar into a German position, a German hold. In like maybe 6 seconds. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He flips. It's top tier athlete level of how did he go from laying in a headlock, laying down, having his opponent in a headlock, to an armbar, to a German suplex position? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was watching it the other day and I had to physically stop, press pause and say, how did he do that? Right? Because he's a different level of technician. Definitely a different level of technician. And Bret Hart's also got the accolades, right? He's a 6-time WWE champion, I believe, 6 times. Intercontinental champion, multiple tag team champion, a part of one of the greatest tag teams of all time. He's a WCW champion, if that means anything. He's also a U.S. champion, tag champ. But again, if any of those in WCW mean anything, he's also a WWE United States champion, the oldest United States champion. He's a WrestleMania main eventer, Royal Rumble winner, King of the Ring winner. Like, that's more accolades than, I don't know, Hogan. People like to argue, oh, Hogan changed wrestling. Hogan did this. Hogan came in at the boom period of wrestling, right? Came in juiced up, juiced out of his mind, right? This man is sweating anabolic steroids. He's sweating anabolic steroids, and his aura just gives off cocaine. It just gives off the 80s and cocaine. So, look, Hogan came in at the boom period. He's juiced up off a million different substances. And he's a product of the system. I guarantee you, if any other 6'4", muscly, juiced up cokehead came running into WWE that day and said, yo, Vince, I'm gonna tell kids to eat vitamins, right? say prayers. I guarantee you they would have been a multi-time WrestleMania main eventer. So Hogan did not save wrestling. Bret Hart saved wrestling. Wrestling had, at least North American wrestling, was literally at the bottom of the barrel by the time Hogan left, right? Like, wrestling was literally falling apart. People weren't watching, people weren't buying. Diesel was not selling. They had to cancel a string of live events, right? House shows, because they couldn't afford it. The profits were so low from the year before. They had to switch the WrestleMania arena for security reasons, aka they couldn't sell out the arena like they thought they could. So wrestling is literally at its all-time low. Nobody's making money, and who's here? Bret Hart carrying the company, getting people to watch, getting people to put their eyes on the product, putting over the biggest star in wrestling history, the man who's drawn the most tickets, the most merchandise. You still see 316 shirts everywhere, and that's because Bret put them over. So I don't understand what this, oh, Bret Hart is boring. Oh, Bret Hart's the most overrated wrestler of all time, easily. Oh, Bret Hart this, Bret Hart that. No. Bret Hart is a top five wrestler of all time. Period. He gave his heart and his soul, no pun intended, to the wrestling industry, and it was not kind to him. I mean, Bret loves this sport more than probably any other human being has ever loved the sport of wrestling. Right? This sport has taken years off of his life. He walks with a limp, okay? His hips aren't the same. He lost his brother to this. He's lost a lot of family members to this industry. Bret Hart is wrestling. The Hart family is wrestling, okay? And Bret Hart is the Hart family. Bret Hart is wrestling. And I'm sick and tired of people disrespecting Bret Hart. It's so goofy. It just shows that these people have no clue what they're talking about. It shows that they showed up. The guy who said this online, by the way, is a Ruthless Aggression Era fan, which means he showed up at the peak of gay bashing and the most demoralizing era of wrestling, apart from the Attitude Era for women, right? Lita had her miscarriage on television during the Ruthless Aggression Era, right? Being a lesbian was played off for jokes during the Ruthless Aggression Era. Billy and Chuck, Ruthless Aggression Era. Every time John Cena came out to rap, it's a mixture of dissing his opponent and gay bashing jokes. So this guy came into wrestling during the Ruthless Aggression Era, right? Grew up with the Ruthless Aggression Era, then transitioned to the PG era. And you can tell he's never gone back and watched. He's never gone back and watched anything. You can tell by the way that he talks. He has no knowledge of any wrestling earlier than the year 2004. And it's the funniest thing to me in the whole wide world. You can go online. You can watch compilations all you want. You can watch, oh, The Rock epically slaying people for 20 minutes. That's not the same as going and watching wrestling. Okay, you're going to call yourself a wrestling fan. You need to go out there and you need to watch wrestling. All right, you got a platform online. Okay, you got influencers. Well, you're an influencer. There are people that you're influencing. And you've never even sat down and watched a Bret Hart match, I can tell. Come on. Come on, man. But, yeah, so people need to stop disrespecting legends of the sport. Eddie Guerrero, mostly Bret Hart. They need to stop, okay? Because they just sound ridiculous. And you can tell that they have zero knowledge of what they're talking about. But that's it. Signing off.